You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? I'm back. And in today's episode, I have my buddy Andrew Hiltbrand here. I've known Andrew for, I don't know, a while now, probably too long, but I just wanted to bring Andrew on, and he's been distributing the Ophion paddles, so I wanted to bring him on and kind of like talk a little paddle action and just maybe some green race action and just whatever else happens. What's up, buddy? How's it going, Andrew?
Nothing much, Wade. Thanks for having me on for your show. I'm excited to answer some questions you may have and maybe go back in some memories that maybe I don't want to encounter.
it's always fun. I'm going to start today out with the River Rat. Ooh. This is a brewery out of South Carolina. So yeah, I'm working on a beer sponsor. So,
oh, you're working on a beer sponsor. Okay. I got mine. Ooh, and the Green Race Koozie Atomic Pageantry from Bermari. It's local to Asheville. So of course, if you live in Asheville, you only buy beer in Asheville. So cheers. Well,
cheers to you. I go through Asheville, so I always buy some beer in Asheville. So it has to be a high wire.
True. Robert Yowza Wowza, street name.
We got to get that dude on, huh?
He'll let you know ins and outs of everything.
Oh, even better. I need somebody to talk more than me. I started losing my voice. I talked so fucking much over the past few days. My voice started going out. So I need to get somebody like him on that will just not shut up. I can just.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He'll do it for you.
All right. Well, we'll get him on. Yowza Wowza, if you're out there, buddy, give me a shout. For all you guys listening, Andrew had brought in some kayak paddles from the great country of
Slovenia. It's over there in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. What did I say last time? I don't know. One of them damn Vania countries. There's like 30 of them that are all, you could technically drive to like 30 countries in a day and speak 30 different languages over there.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. 100%.
On a little moped, on a moped, carrying all your Ophion paddles.
Cruising through like 30 countries in like 2 hours.
But yeah, tell us a little bit about the Ophion paddles. Which one are you using? Which one's your favorite right now? I know.
My favorite.
They're all my favorite.
My favorite is the Shurkin. It's kind of like a foam core blend. It's not like a true foam core, if you will, like the Shogun or Stikine or Double Diamond, if you will. It's just kind of has like more of the center of the blade has foam on it, but it's kind of wrapped in carbon. So it's become my favorite paddle, especially the blade design. It's got a really big vertical spoon for those nice vertical strokes if you really want your power. But yeah, I've been using that one for almost a year now, and it's holding up strong, all carbon. But yeah, that one's
been
my go-to.
What was that one I had on the Akoi that day in that carbon 12R?
That was the Katana All-Star.
That was the Katana, the big blade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I like that one.
760 square centimeters of surface area. It's massive. That's like they're pretty much their true creaking river running type paddle blade design, if you will. So pretty much what everyone likes paddling wise around here is like they like the power of the sweep stroke and the vertical stroke. So the Katana large blade is probably the best option.
That's
for that.
Similar to like, what would you compare that to, the Powerhouse?
It's really close to the Powerhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. So they actually have a foam core in the blade. It's not air core.
Right. It's not air core, but their newest blade that they just came out with a couple months ago, the Enduro, that one is shaped more like a hybrid blade for like endurance paddling, river running, kind of all around.
Is that colored blade, like is in yellow or something?
So it's one of the colored blades with carbon reinforcement in the center using an Airex foam core. But that one, I think I've only had like two of them come in the States. And so far, everybody that has them loves them. So I can't really hate it if it sells, you know?
Yeah. And so you have them there.
So I am the U.S. sales and distributor. If you check out the website, you'll find me in my info there. So
how many people in the United States?
If I include myself, it's 20. So within 7 months, I've gotten 20 paddles out the door.
Now, so that's pretty good. That's a lot of paddles, actually. I've been seeing them pop up on like videos and stuff. How many other people are distributing on me in the U.S.?
Just personally me, but Endless River Adventures actually is our first dealer in the U.S. to carry Ophion. Right now, we're actually working with Big Adventures, aka Liquid Logic IX, if you're not familiar. They're actually also looking to place an order.
Never heard of them. Anyway.
So they're looking to place an order this fall. So it's really exciting that, you know, we're creating this movement to get paddles to everyone out there.
I don't know if you know, Warner had some production issues. I don't know if it's more kind of like lockdown related, but then because I think Big Adventures used to be a distributor of Warner, but it was a really difficult to get them in.
So we placed our preseason order for this year in September of last year and received like a third of the order. And that was just like recreational paddles. It wasn't even whitewater.
They sent zero whitewater? Wow. See, and you're not the first one. And you're not the first one to tell me that. I talked to like retailers and they're like, oh, dude, we're not getting any Warner paddles. You know, it's crazy because Warner's so damn good. They've been around since the Ice Age. You know, I think a caveman was whacking down trees with Warner, with probably an old Warner powerhouse. But it's like, for whatever reason, they've just fell off. And it seems like they're not really like recovering. I don't know. I was at the NOC a few weeks ago doing the Cascades, and I saw by the NOC and they had a bunch of Warner in stock.
I don't know if this is true either, but I think Warner's kind of playing favorites. So they're going to take care of, you know, obviously NRS, they're going to take care of NOC. They're going to take care of probably Appomattox, CKS, kind of their biggest whitewater players, you know, for other smaller businesses, they might be looking for an alternative. So that's where I was like, dude, I need to do something. You know, like people break their shit all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like people go through paddles like once a year, maybe even sooner. So it's like, you know, got to get them something. And it's not like, it's funny that, you know, Werner, like they're still making paddles. Nobody's really getting new ones or they're just hard to find. Like even our buyer was like, hey, we're probably not even going to get our Werner order this fall or for next spring. So, I mean, it's like, that's for everyone. So it's kind of up in the air. It's like, all right, well, who's actually going to get paddles in now? Because they just told us that they might not be able to commit to this fall or next spring.
And that's a shame because like you know, you use the Adachi and Shogun, right? You had two premier blades, and I've used pretty much all of them too. And I really like the Adachi. It's such a good blade. And the Shogun is just like the most durable all around best blade, given that you might've broke maybe a few of them, but you know,
I think three.
Well, that's more than a few, but
three Shoguns, I think one Adachi.
I would relate the Shoguns more to paddling style than manufacturing era, from what I've heard. There's probably still one floating around green somewhere.
That one's probably still there. I know exactly where it is too.
Tell everybody right now, where's this Shogun at? So maybe someone will find it.
if you really want to find the Shogun at this point, it's yours. It's actually on the River Left Cave of Triple Drop. Yeah, I think it's Triple Drop. It's below Sunshine in the runout doing some dumb stuff. It's kind of like that turtleback move where you can either boof off the right-hand side or kind of ride down the little slide rock. There's a little cave on that left-hand side splatting and
what it is. So for everybody, what he's talking about, there's a like a premier plat splat rock right above that.
Yeah.
It's one of the last where everybody splats and plays around. I actually never knew the name of that. You're saying it's like Triple Drop.
It's called Triple Drop.
Because there's a drop on the right.
There's a drop on the right. There's a drop in the center. And then there's one you could do on the far left.
You can do like a free will off of
it.
You're saying that ledge. How did it happen? Was you sliding off the rock?
There's a nice little like micro eddy in there that recirculates into the pour over, if you will. And so on a Saturday, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Just like splat up against it, turn, and then keep doing it again. I was like, all right, I'm tired. Then on Sunday, I got a little bit dicier and just like went up onto it over vert and right in the cave. And I was like, all right, well, I'm grabbing my dry bag.
What were you paddling?
Party brat.
Party brat.
Party brat. Okay. Yeah.
Little flat. So I grabbed
my dry bag because I had my phone and maybe my keys. I don't remember, but definitely my phone. And I was like, I'm going to hold on my boat too because it knows the way out. And so I just kind of grabbed it, floated out, and the paddle is still in there. So it's not going to move. It's kind of held in there. So if you want to go swimming.
Have you tried to go up there while the water was off?
Yes, twice. And the water was actually on.
Yeah.
The water was not off.
So you guys hear this. You guys hear this.
Hey, there's a free Shogun, $197.
How about this? It ain't a free Shogun. You will hook them up with a complete Ophion sticker if they
– Sure. I'll give you a T-shirt. I got two T-shirts right now.
All right, you guys heard that today on the Shuttle Drive that he will give you a free T-shirt and probably a little bit of merch if you can find his Shogun and a big high five.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the
sure, and, that's the best
and you
deal.
Don't even think it's broken. You think it's fully like
no, I still think it's in there.
Wow.
There's no way it's broken. I think it was like 3 or 4 months old. Like that one I absolutely
you're making me it. Almost want to go there and look now.
Hey, offers out there to anyone watching.
Now
back into the green.
Yeah.
Go find it.
Well,
it's pretty much so. Where the Green River Trail ends to get to Below Sunshine.
I know exactly where you're talking about. I was just
right
up there.
Yep. It's just go swim. Swim yeah. for it. You got
and
it.
And you're saying it's on the far left-hand side.
River left-hand side. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's probably
offers out there. I'll give you a T-shirt. It might not fit you, but I'll give you a T-shirt to the closest size.
Well, there you go. Well, let's see. So, because you – what other paddles have you used? Like, do you still have any paddles left or –
Yeah, I've got – I mean, I still have two Werners I keep just holding on to. I've got my – medium blade katana, large blade bent shaft katana, and then my shuriken.
And I've used them. I've used all the Ophion paddles, and I really like them. I mean, I have like three Werners, and now I got a Lettman. So I'm full on Lettman, buddy. So does Ophion have any type of adjustable blade?
They do have an adjustable shaft. It's not on the bent shaft models, unfortunately, but it is like the bent shaft models are heavily reinforced in the center. But the adjustable split system, I think it's either for like a 194 to 20, like it's in 10 center increments. So it's 194, 204, 197, 207, and I think like 200 to 210, I think. What's interesting is when I put them together here, the offsets are already adjusted. So like when I put them together, the offsets are marked. They're not actually set at zero.
Yeah, because you control the when he says put them together, because as far as shipping and all that, it's a lot easier to ship the blades and the shaft. And then you just get what offset people want. Left-handed, right-handed, you want 40, 90, whatever.
Is the good thing about what this partnership that we have going on is that I don't have to pay an import tax because it's not a finished product. So being a finished product, I don't have to pay
parts and pieces, import tax. Right? Yeah.
Yep. So all I have to pay for is the shipping, which now that I use a faster shipping service is like 5 to 10 business days, if that.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. And like I said, I'm starting to see more and more of them come around. And I remember me and you talking about this, and definitely, I mean, like you said, people are breaking their shit all the time. And I've met people that would buy a $150 worn out powerhouse with a blade about this big if they could find
just
it.
So that you could have something. Yeah.
Imagine if you're like a paddler and you only have one paddle and then it breaks and you're like, you go and they were sold out everywhere. It was impossible to buy. Now it's a little better. I think everything's got a little better. I'm seeing other paddles that coming out. I don't know if you've seen the hardcore paddles. Have you seen those guys?
I've seen one guy.
I got to use one. Yeah.
I remember you saying that. I think I saw it and I was like, man, that's really interesting, but I don't like, personally, I like bigger blades.
It is a small blade. It's round.
I'm really keen. Yeah.
It reminds really me, keen. You know what it reminds me of is like, what's those pothole, those like squirt boat style paddles?
It's very small
like that. But it's very smooth and round, and it seems like people are going every time I see a wood paddle. I've never seen a really good wood paddle. And there's a kayaker there in Asheville, John Keller, stout paddles. Have you seen any of his stuff? He's the first one to actually do like an offset top blade on a wooden paddle, like an Odachi.
Oh, really? Like a forward blade design?
Yeah, I've never seen that in wooden paddle. Have you?
Huh. No.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not out there. Somebody leave in the comments, because every time I say that, somebody always like, dude, they were making those in 1974 in the Inuit and they were using them. Okay, whatever. But I mean, in an actual production, I've never seen a blade forward design and what he's put up. If you guys get a chance, go over to Stout Paddles. He's there in Asheville, and I've paddled with John a few times, and he seems like he's pretty good with woodworking. I mean, obviously his production would not be probably meet the demand if they really took off. Could you imagine that? If all of a sudden he got 500 ordered, he'd be like, oh my God. And plus having a job.
Like, I can't do this. Yeah. But yeah, it's like every monthly order that I place, I get them within 4 to 6, like 4 to 6 weeks. If that, you know, like, I had one of my April order just kind of disappeared in wherever, Europe, I guess, from the post
office. Yeah, you can't control that.
I was like, guys, this is out of my hands, but you know what? They're remaking the order and they're going to ship it through FedEx and we're going to get it here, you know, in 6 business days. And sure enough, like, it showed up in actually 5. And I was like, dude, thank you.
Yeah.
Here's your paddles and, you know, take them out on the water. Let me know what you think.
But now, what is the ultimate thing? Is there something else you want to get going? Do you want to distribute other things or is it just Ophion?
I think for the time being, I want to establish like a good market presence with Ophion. I'm currently working on like a business outline and presentation for them. So that way I can kind of communicate to dealers and be like, look, hey, I'm kind of your sales rep, but kind of not, but distribute them for you. Kind of working on a dealer program right now and doing direct sales. If, you know, someone hit me up, be like, all right, yeah, totally. Here you go. But right now, my biggest concern is like getting these here because he's been consistent. Quality's been good. And it's almost hard to beat. Like, it's like, I don't.
Dude, you're right. Because, and for you guys that, I don't know if anyone's seen my review video, but the quality of the, like, I used to work for AT. So I'm not going to claim that I know all about paddles and all that, but I can tell when someone's doing really good with their carbon fiber layup and they're like the way they laminate it and using the right amount of resin. Those, and I've always said it, when it comes to fiberglass and resin and all that, all of those guys in Estonia, Slovenia, all of those guys, they do really well over there. I don't know what it is. I really have no clue. If they're, like I said, I think they're born in a bat of like fiberglass resin over there because it is insane how well they do carbon fiber. I'm very impressed. And it's like carbon fiber and fiberglass in general. And given that it's not, they don't do high production, but they do high quality. And I can always appreciate that. And that's the same way with like Letman or someone like that, where they don't sell like millions of them and whatever. Look, you got to look at Warner. How many does Warner sell? I mean, they're one of the largest in the world, maybe the largest.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I'm only talking whitewater paddle. I know you might say, well, there's a company at Walmart, Propel or whatever.
Lifetime.
Lifetime outsells them. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm talking about whitewater paddles. I can't think of anyone with a bigger reach than Warner. I mean, we're talking, they're in Europe, they're in Australia, they're all
over the place. Yeah. It's like, if you start talking whitewater kayak, I can be like, yeah, I got a Warner Rio. And you're like, of course you do.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah, I've been in Mexico and they're all using Warner. Yeah, they have Warner. Yeah. They'll have something that maybe somebody from overseas left there or something, a Letman or something like that. Yeah. Have you used any other paddles like Galasport or anything like that, G-Power?
I know you
haven't used a Letman.
I have not.
Because you would own one if you did.
I don't know. I would be too scared to lose it or too scared to break it.
judging by your track record and the story you just told me, I'd recommend not buying a $600 paddle. You're not
going to. Yeah, probably not. I actually still haven't used a Galasport or a true G Power yet. I just could never really get one in my hands. Like, you see all the Potomac paddlers up there using Galasport because, you know, it's all they know up there. So Wallam and Great Falls, that's it.
Yeah, so. And I don't know how those Galasport will hold up. One thing that I found out about Ophion, too, they felt damn tough. It felt really tough.
I mean, in some parts of them, their fiberglass,
everything breaks.
Everything will break. Their fiberglass looks robust, but it just feels solid in your hands. It's not like you're like, oh wow, this, it looks cheap, but it's like, it's not, but it feels really good. That you just feel that extra like thickness of material and how much power you get.
Well, that's that craftsmanship and layup. And it goes back, because I can tell everybody that's listening right now that I have a 14-year-old AT Super Light. And this was when AT was manufactured in, you know, I think Oregon, Hood River, maybe. They were manufactured in Oregon. And those guys really controlled their manufacturing. You know, they were probably smoking a lot of dope. And their focus was so fine-tuned on every fiber being right that it's like, I believe it. Because it shows in the quality and craftsmanship. Now, obviously, a lot of the ATs went to a different manufacturer and it changed. But when you get like one guy working overtime doing one paddle and they turn out. That's why you get that high quality like that. That's how I felt about Ophion when I used it. I was like, wow, these are very well made. They're very
well made. And he you know, he produces a lot of them. I mean, he's got a like pretty strong following in Europe, if you will, because, you know, it's like Werner's really expensive over there for them, so like they kind of need an alternative, and they're there to fulfill it. And so like now that we're dealing with the supply chain issue on Werner's end, it's like, all right, well, you know, we need someone to fill in this gap that we've created.
Is it so not shocking on how many paddle manufacturers are in?
It's kind of shocking. I think
it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Four on top of my head.
I mean, that's just the ones, that's just like the premier ones we know.
Yeah.
You know, you got to look at like Letman, Ophion, Select, Robson. They're that's still five. Going strong. And those are the ones that kind of pop in my head. I'm sure there's probably 30 more that like are circulating around out there. And here in the US, I guess we're kind of competitive, you know, with like guys like the hardcore guys. And I messaged that guy and I think he's just kind of like, I don't know.
I think he's doing it for fun.
I think when you deal with wood paddles, I think it's a passion project.
Yeah.
And you don't want 40 or 50 orders because you'll never be able to meet the demand. And because you're going to have to like tell people, oh, I can't get you that paddle to 2025. Like, could you imagine placing an order and they say, you're looking at 2025. I'd be like, yeah.
Dude, that's like boats too. It's like, you want your boat? You want to pre-order it? Oh yeah. You ordered it in January. It's August now, almost September.
Well, you say boats, but the good thing is Liquid Logic doesn't have that problem because no one's buying their boats. And that's a good problem to have.
Hey, whoa. We just changed our directive, all right? That's
Yeah. Everybody's buying codes and scorches right now. Have you seen any of the codes and scorches? I know you're an alpha guy. For everybody that knows,
this guy's,
you know, LL. You could, you know, it runs in his veins, so I can't pry him out of an alpha, but he does paddle a lot of different boats.
I have seen the code. I have not seen the Scorch in person yet. Personally, this You're is just out. A personal opinion.
You're missing out.
The code kind of looks like a mashup of the Phantom and Mamba. That's just my personal opinion.
Whoa. So I just did a full-on review of the code, and I think it really is. It's really like a high-performance Mamba. Let's be honest. I mean, it's like, let's be honest what it is. And I have had some experience in an alpha. I had an alpha for a while. I mean, I know you bitched about it. How long are you going to keep that demo? I had a demo for all you guys that don't know. I worked out a deal to get a demo alpha. First, I tried the 90, and the 90 was just massive. They are really two different boats.
Huge.
And here's the problem. The size of that alpha the 90 doesn't translate as well as the 75 because I was able to load the tail of the 75 and use it similar to the half slice, which I think what Pat originally wanted with that boat.
Yeah. The fourth version of the prototype that I had of the small, it had kind of like a longer brap slender stern, but it kind of had the volume right behind the cockpit. And that thing was just like, it was fast. It was probably the fastest boat I'd ever paddled, but it was like, dude, we can't have this on the stern. Like, it's just like a better brap with volume. Like, we can't do this. We got to have something.
It was basically
a
swelled up brap all the way through.
Yeah, that actually had chines or soft edges.
Oh my God,
for
you can't
you
say
people
that.
That
with Liquid Logic.
Yeah, I know. I can't say chines because it's like a soft edge. It's like this. It's
what
not
did Pat
really
say?
Like
how many?
Edge.
He said. Pat said to. I think he said it somewhere. He's like, you ever seen a fish with edges? have you ever seen a fish with edges?
I've only seen a sailfish that has a fin.
I'm sure there's a lot of edges on fish somewhere out there.
Probably.
No, but I get the design, and I tell you what, I think the Alpha is one of the most underrated boats out there, and I paddled the Alpha a lot,
especially
and you're right,
the 75.
I agree with you. It's the 75 is one of the most underrated boats. Because I was able at like 180, which I'm a little heavy on it. And I think anyone up to about 210, 220.
I'd say like 200. Yeah.
Could easily paddle that boat. And they would be able to utilize that tail more. Yeah. And I just love the bow rocker on how that thing got up there. Obviously, I just got kind of spoiled by edges. And it does have like a soft chine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's got a soft chine kind of high on it. Right. What kind of, you got a 75 and a party brap, right? Those are your two go-tos.
Two go-tos. That's it. That's pretty much all I need. I mean, I have a stinger still, but you know, let's be real. It's just kind of collecting dust and dirt.
Well, it won't. Hey, so on the Stinger, are you racing any this year?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't really feel like racing. Yeah. I don't feel like racing. I kind of want to enjoy my falls again, because every fall season I get stressed out about race season.
It's stressful.
Like, I never get to like enjoy the Russell Fork in a short boat, or
Now that you mention that, I don't think I can even remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time I had a short boat on the Russell Fork? Every time I'm going up there, I'm in a longboat, which long is
boat,
still
race boat.
I get it. It's fun. And I think last year, Andrew, for all of you guys, right below El Horrendo, there's a good little ender hole. It was like a little secret ender hole. And Andrew was like, no, I'm telling you, dude, we can take longboats vertical there. And I was like, no way. And there's a spot right below El Hydraulic. I think it's El Horrendo. And then there's that play hole they call El Hydraulic. And then it's the next kind of flare. You can flare off the rock on the right, or a lot of people just run it in the center. There's a pocket. There's a pocket for all of you guys. And I'm sure the locals know about this. There's the pocket right there. You can go and plug a longboat. And I mean, we were getting massive enders, like popping all the way up and like going over on our head. They were going so big.
It's just one that I tried it.
But that's the only thing a longboat was fun out there.
Yeah. You're other like, than hey, that, we're just racing things.
Yeah. Other than that, we're just pointing downstream. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I agree with you, man. It's like, I do like the Russell Fork race, and I know you've raced it a few times. Like, when was your last green race? Wasn't that the one where you, I think you got hurt in one of them, didn't you?
No, I
don't
want to
open any sore. I don't want to put any salt in any wounds here.
No, that was years ago now. So my first race was 2014.
Oh, yeah, you did 19.
18, 19.
I thought you did Grand Canyon in 19. Yeah.
No, I only did it in 16, but I think 18 and 19 were my best times, even though they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, and then 2020 was pretty much locked down. So, you know, obviously, you know, John Grace is not going to stop the green race. He will have the green race, even if he has to put up shields. Yeah, he's not going to stop the green race, even in 2020. All right, so you don't think you'll race again this year?
I don't think I will, only because it's like, I'm definitely not in shape to race right now. Like, I should have started in April, but that's when we were still high lockdown, whatever going on. And because of boofers, man, honestly, that's one of my biggest hate rapids. I just hate boofers because you can't run the right side anymore. It's like the entry of it is like kind of like Frankenstein, but a lot tighter, and you have to do like almost like a 100-degree turn. Like, it's not
an easy
one.
See, I haven't had
a long boat.
Yeah. And for people that are listening, they're like, I was on boofers last week and I ran it. And then you find out he ran it like in a, you know, a Mamba or a Nomad or something. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. That's like 8.5 feet.
Yeah.
We're working with like 12 and a half.
And you're working with like a Vanguard or a Stinger. Oh, you better make sure you don't get pinned on that right rock. You're right. You have to turn now and then wing it all the way over. The last time I was out there, I've been running that center. I agree with you. I don't like center boofers. I'm not a fan of it. It feels weird to do fast.
It almost feels like you kind of have to slow down above it in order to get control of the entry. Because it's like if you do hit that kind of boof to turn, you're not guaranteed to actually like kind of spread over it. You're just like, all right, well, am I just going to ramp up and go vert or, you know.
Oh, I've done that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I've done it. I've done it in Alpha, and it's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Because I tried to boost it.
Because all of that's just like a tree over there. It's sieved out. And if you went like in the gap in the center, but I'm saying, you know, that rock that you're talking about splatting, sometimes you can boof off of that rock. But then at one time I went completely vert and almost fell off and went around
that's
rock.
Right.
And I don't know if you've looked in there. There's a tree still lodged in there and it just looks sieved out. I don't know how somebody hasn't got stuck there yet. Haven't got completely fucked up in there.
I forgot about that. Everything else is fine. Everything else is fine. It's just that one little rapid called Boofer Consequence. I'm just not.
Yeah, and
not
I'd actually thought about. I was like, you know what? If I'm gonna race this year, I might do short boat the whole time. I might pull like because it's something we paddle all the time.
Just and pull a Nick Troutman, dude. Only paddle short boat.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, Nick Troutman's okay with like his manhood, but I don't know if I could just do a short boat, it would almost be embarrassing in a way. I think even if I won the short boat, I would just like Not even accept.
Not
it.
Even admit it. Yeah,
I, just not I would go accept up there. That as a failure, unless I beat like Dane or something in short boat.
There
it
would
be a failure. Which he's going to win short boat anyway.
But. Absolutely, he'll do three laps and still beat you on the third one.
Hand paddling. Without C1. Hand paddles.
C one.
Yeah, C one. And oh, geez,
with a stick. Right.
Yeah, I remember they used to do that. I don't know if they allow you to do like three or four classes. Some people would do like C1 or hand paddles and yep. then short boat K1, and long.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hiking if you think about it.
And then you have to paddle those boats out.
Yeah, well, usually
when nobody realizes that there's a run out below the narrows, by the way.
A lot of people forget about that. Yeah, there is a long run out below the narrows. And then especially after you've had about 16 beers and then you're towing a boat. That has happened to me before. I've had a good race. I partied, and then I was like, "Oh shit, I gotta tow a Phantom out of here." And, like, and then I'm looking, and everybody's wise. Like, "Hey, you want to paddle a Phantom?" They're like, "I don't have any gear on me, dude." I'm like, "Oh man."
You're like, "Damn it."
I'm really starting to think maybe I could just leave it in here and hike in here later. What else have you got going on? Anything good? You have a YouTube channel. Do you ever upload to it?
I hardly ever upload to that thing, man. I had this great ambition and
he started out strong, guys. He started out strong.
I had great ambitions for the YouTube channel, but I just kind of like focused on the Instagram and
yeah,
just kind of stuck with Instagram and then connected my Facebook account.
Well, it's easy because Instagram pictures are easy. Let's be honest.
Yeah, pictures are easy.
Pictures are easy because you can fake them and look really cool. Like you could come absolutely, off a drop
just like
and then you swam at the bottom yeah, because if you were on video,
you have that picture.
You got that picture of just styling off a drop or a big free yeah. wheel. And it's like, can we see how you landed? It's like,
no,
oh, yeah, I swam at the bottom.
No, it's like when you run a waterfall and it's like they swim at the bottom. It's like, does that really count? It's like, I don't know. Does the picture look good? Yes, it does. All right.
Right
really
at counts. The lip. Yep. Right at the lip, you're doing the paddle throw.
It doesn't matter if you just like go over vert or not. It's just like at the lip.
You went out to Colorado not too long, a couple years ago, right? 2019?
2019, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I think I was out there. Was that that year?
Yep, you were
yeah,
there.
We did Gore Canyon. Yeah,
we
I
did
think
Gore,
that was our,
you
guys got Crystal GoPro. Or something.
No, I don't think we got Crystal. We did the Black Fork of the Clear Creek Canyon or some shit like that.
The
or,
reason I'm bringing this up is because of how's your dry suit? Tell us this story. Do they get a free sticker and shirt for this too?
No,
you guys got to listen to this story.
This one is long gone. I'm not even worried about this one anymore. So when we were leaving that trip, we were heading out of Denver on whatever that is, I-70 maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm terrible
that road
interstate.
Out of Denver into Kansas. Yeah.
Yep. You know, we were just filling up outside of Denver and, you know, I started the drive.
This is awesome.
So we filled up outside of Denver, start driving. It's like, you know, 6-7 o'clock at night. Just kind of cruising, got this nice thunderstorm rolling in, whatnot, kind of windy. Cruise along, finish that whole tank, you know, filling up. And I feel like I'm missing something, but I don't think I am.
So it was
and
a feeling.
I just had like this weird feeling. I was like, I just need to check the gear. I need to check like something.
That's funny.
And I think it was because I needed to get my GoPro so I could look at some bullshit.
Yeah, because you're just sitting
doing.
There for like
yeah.
18 hours doing nothing.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I was like, you know what? I need to get my GoPro. And I started digging. At that point, I had like a kind of like this mesh bag that I had like everything in, or so I thought. I went in there because I put my helmet at the bottom and I was like, where's my dry suit? It shouldn't be
the
under
dry suit, by the way. What was it?
It was an IR Devil's Club.
So what are those retail? What's MSRP on those?
I think like $1,300.
Okay. Let's just get that out there, but go ahead. So a new kayak.
Essentially a new kayak, dry suit, $1,300. You know, it's no big deal. That thing was new. It was 4 months old.
I know. I remember you told me about it. Yeah.
And I was like, dude, no way is my dry suit not in here. And sure enough, it was just my dry suit, not like my union suit and like under thermals and all that stuff.
Helmet, yeah.
Nine stuff, everything. Like 9 yards. But yeah, so along I-70 between Denver and Kansas City, there was IR Devil's Club dry suit kind of floating along the interstate.
I'm guessing you had the cool color, solid jet black.
I had solid black, my guy. Yeah. It looked fresh. It looked clean.
They're perfect. Good. They're good dry suits. So, you know, and you had your phone number in your dry suit, right? So who found it would probably call you, right? this
no,
guy
I,
and everybody listen, no. This guy's an Eagle Scout, right?
Yeah. So I was not prepared.
This is Mr. Preparation.
Yeah, I normally prepare for everything, but I think I have since realized that I should never keep a dry suit in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, I get that. I've had paddles blow out of the back of a truck, and it's painful, dude. Yeah, I can imagine your panic when you were just at, oh, fuck. When you started going through your gear and you was like...
It's like it wasn't there.
Yeah, gone. And you're like, it was right here when we left Denver.
And oh, it wasn't like I spread it out. Like I had, like I always roll up my dry suit so I could stuff it better. And I think it had shifted when the gear bag had moved, and it must have just caught air enough to just.
Was it in the boat? Was it in the boat?
It wasn't in a boat. It was in the back of the truck. So like closest to the cab. So where there's less air. And yeah, it just must have shifted.
So people that are listening, one thing that paddlers do, I mean, I'm guilty of this too. When we're in the back of a truck, we'll lay the kayaks up kind of like, you know, in a row. And then where the cab comes over, there's less air. So we'll just cram gear down. Now, let's say us more responsible people, we get like a carabiner and we go through everything. Like there's hooks through everything. But a dry suit, there's nowhere to really hook. I guess
clip the belt.
You could try to go through like, that's right. It's kind of, you could try to go through something because the odds of everything blowing out is almost slim to none. But one little item, like he said, a union suit, a shoe, a sock or something, but a dry suit might be the worst thing to ever, especially a brand new one. I've got like a 3-year-old, you know, 7-figure dry suit that if it blew out, I would not be happy. But it wouldn't be like what happened to you when you came back and you told me, you was like, dude, my dry suit blew out somewhere on I-70. I was like, oh.
Yeah, because I had got it like in January. So, I mean, I literally only had it for like 4 months. And I was like, all right, well, time to buy another one.
So what I do, I roll up my dry suit and right inside where the Velcro comes over, if you roll it up, I put in big numbers my phone number. So I write my phone number with a black Sharpie marker, because if a paddler finds it, they would post it on like, you know, Gear Swap. They'd post it everywhere, but that's not who's going to find your dry suit.
No.
The Kansas Road City crew or something is who's got your dry suit right now. A little kid somewhere is like, wow, look at what my dad gave me.
Look at my spacesuit, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. They have not a clue what it is or you know, who knows where it went.
Devil's Club, what does this mean?
Yeah, but if you would have had like a Sharpie marker, like a silver Sharpie marker, you could have had your phone number in there, and then who knows? You were just some old lady would have called you.
Yeah, I have since learned that mistake, and I now have a bin I put everything in.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So a bin with a lid and lock it down, and you put stuff on top of it, and you know it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I've since learned my lesson. Yeah, absolutely. It was very expensive, just like losing paddles.
Once again, you would get a free Ophion t-shirt.
That's right.
At that point, I'd almost give a free Ophion used paddle for a brand new dry suit.
Maybe. Yeah, if it was
still all legit, all the gaskets were still good.
Yeah, if everything was there and it looked fucking brand new, I'd be like, all right, well, take a paddle of your choice. I don't even care.
Yeah, at that point, that would be a good be a good trade-off. But you since purchased another one, right? Yeah. Or you got a dry top.
I have both. Yeah. I've got a dry top.
So a lot of people listen. What I do, I have a shorty. So I don't have dry tops anymore. I go straight from shorties to dry suit. Because I found myself, if it's cold enough for a dry top, I can probably wear a dry suit anyway and just lower my layers. I have like thin layers. I won't use like my union suit. I'd use like more like this material, more like dry fit material. If it's kind of like that in between. And if it's still kind of warm, I'll just wear my Kokatak, like because it's Kokatak Gore-Tex shorty top. So I go from shorty to dry suit. I don't have, a lot of paddlers will go like shorty, dry, because you probably have all three, right?
I do.
Yeah. What do you have?
I don't really use the shorty anymore. I should probably sell it. I mean, I just use a dry suit.
What do you got, a nano?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured so. Yeah. It's okay. The nano's okay.
Hey, man, brand loyalty here. Like,
that's true. He's definitely.
They got me by the hands. All right. Like,
color coordinated, brand loyalty, and all that. Well, I would like to talk to you a little bit about the Bonafide pedal drive, the P127. I don't know how much you know about it.
I know. I think I know enough.
You know more than, I would say, 100% of the pro anglers out there about the Bonafide P127 from the manufacturing side. You might not have used it as much as them, but from the manufacturing side, you definitely know. How's that boat coming along? What do you think about it so far? And for you guys, that I'm just going to give everybody a little backstory on this. And Bonafide was purchased by Big Adventures, and it was relocated to Fletcher, North Carolina, where Native, Hurricane, and Liquid Logic are. So Bonafide is now molding in the same building as Native, Liquid Logic, and Hurricane's out in Warsaw.
Yep.
And but the Bonafide brand is still going very strong. Andrew's a well versed on all the brands, so I just want to get his opinion of the Bonafide P127.
So it's kind of like, say this to all the Bonafide people out there, it wasn't going to be realistic for us to kind of create this modified drop-in system for your 107 or 127. Let's get that out of the way. We can't make that modified system. It put too much torque right there where the dry pod goes. But the P127 is meant for the avid 127 lovers to have that option of the pedal drive. Granted, they are two different hull designs, but they are very similar. It does have a lot of storage space in the stern. I think almost as much, if not a little bit more than the 127. 127 paddle edition has a little bit wider of a foot platform for you
but
to stand.
But that makes sense, right? Because right. Now you have to make sense. That whole open console. You had to make that open well to drop mm-hmm. a pedal drive in. And I looked at it, and it's like that long. Uh-oh.
My lights went off.
Yeah, he doesn't pay his bill, by the way.
I don't pay my bills.
I wonder if you have one of those clap-ons.
I do have smart lights. I got smart lights.
I know. I seen you pick up your cool phone. How about this, guys? He's got damn Google Assistant turning his mm-hmm. lights on and all that. He can do it from his house. But back on the Bonafide, and I've looked at the final version that they had that Hans and Shane was working mm-hmm. on, and I just kind of looked through it.
Yeah,
we've
got the mold. I mean, yeah, it looks good. It's in house.
Yeah, so when are these shipping? Are they shipping now?
So I think our plan is to kind of like finalize all of the smaller components, the thermoform plastics, all of the poured plastics, and all make sure we have all the materials in-house first.
Yep.
But we plan to be assembling them in probably mid-September to October. And then they probably, realistically, they're not going to be shipping until 2022. I'm putting that out there.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It's just how it's going to work.
Let me explain something to everyone that's listening. And Big Adventures makes almost everything in-house. They have their own injected molded. They have their own thermoforming. They have their own sewing department. They have their own roller molding department. I mean, it's one of the few manufacturers that I can think of off my head that does everything. You know, in-house. Obviously, they order parts and pieces. It could come from anywhere. It's one of the few manufacturers, and that was one thing that Bonafide kind of pride themselves on with the partnership with Yak Attack, because it was Yak Attack Bonafide, was there was nothing really outsourced. Mm-hmm. When I say outsourced, I mean from overseas or something like that.
Right.
And that's one thing that when people need to understand, it's like, oh, why is this taking so long? Well, you know, you could order like a big batch of it from China or, mm-hmm. you know, wherever, and maybe get it, maybe not at this point. Hell, that's a big risk to order anything from China. But it's like the good thing about Bonafide, Native, Liquid Logic is everything's made in-house. They have a great sewing department that can just knock it out. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that sewing department was a lot from Astral, right?
Yeah. So a lot of, I would say probably like 90% of them are the Astral founding sewn members, if you will, when they used to be made in Astral.
And the machinery. And the sewing machines, yeah.
Yeah, the sewing machines as well. We bought those whenever they decided to go, you know, overseas.
Yeah. And because Astral was 100% made there in Mills River, right?
No, it's still Asheville.
It's Asheville. Yeah. Yep. I was thinking that was Mills River, but Astral had a factory, an actual factory where they made everything.
It's still the same building that they're in now. The Riverside Drive.
Shipped in, though.
They changed it all to like warehouse spacing, which makes sense. But yeah, so everything's kind of done in-house, even the Propel units. Like we've been trying to get I think our biggest holdup right now was like getting Propel parts, but I think we've now found a good sustainable, you know, source. That way we can get them consistently now, because that was holding us up a little bit.
Yeah, because like all of there's a room where all the Propels are actually put together. So yeah. Obviously, you know, you're not casting machine no. parts there. I mean, let's be realistic. It's not a casting. It's not got some lady back there like throwing sand in an oven.
Sand
it's
and kind of, molten aluminum.
But all the parts come in and they're manufactured all right there and the quality checked and everything. So that mm-hmm. way that quality is like top notch on the, and because the Propel drives are really good. To me, it's one of the yeah. best. To me, it's one of the best pedal. And I watch, follow social media, like especially during like iCast and all that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people like giving bona fide shit on just dropping native parts in there and yeah. all this. And it's like, dude, I don't think a lot of these people realize how hard it is to design a new pedal drive.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at like the Hobie system, it's like that is an engineering feat. I'm not.
I am too.
How it works, and it's
if
like
you, damn, if you
like,
showed me that, if I just threw that down on the table and I said, "Dude, this is going to be your new pedal driver," I'd be like
"What
in the fuck?
Hell? How it's does like, it work?"
So people that it's two fins that move independently like that, or like against themselves, it doesn't yeah. even make sense.
But
it
yeah, it's an engineering feat. But it works. Yeah, it's like. It's not even realistic for us to even design like a new pedal drive system just to fit in one boat. Like even if like, let's say 10 years from now, like Bonafide has three pedal drives lined up in the, mm-hmm. You know, the market. It's like, that's still not even realistic either. That's only three pedal drive boats that's specific for. It's like later on down the road when the boat gets discontinued, it's like, now we have to keep those sets apart. It's a lot easier to keep an all sets of parts. That way we can exactly. service all the units quickly and have that turnaround and have the parts. I mean, we're still getting parts in for the 101 units, the first unit ever built for the Ultimate.
Yeah, you're on the 701, right?
We're on the 701s now, yeah.
Yeah, and the 701 has the Weed Guard, correct?
Weed Guard integrated, yep.
Nothing really changed much with the gearing. Did it change?
No, the gearing ratio stayed the same.
What is it? 33-1
The reason I
know this is because I worked at a company called Confluence that tried to design their own pedal drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them, and they're just now kind of like refining that Helix mm-hmm. drive. Here it is 5 years later, mm-hmm. dude, 5 years later. They're finally kind of refining it. And I haven't used that. Hopefully I'll get to like do a review on the Recon pedal drive, yeah. but it's like Confluence found out real fast how hard it is to design a pedal drive from in-house designers and was like, we'll outsource this. We'll do this and this. And they were like, wow, it was a engineering nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was hard.
I think we got kind of lucky when we first designed it. It's like, damn, like this thing works backwards too. All right, well, you know, run with it. We kind of got the base system down and, you know, do tweaks here and there every other year, every year, however funny, you want to do it.
Yeah, but, funny story was that, so when we were doing like the pedal drive, we got a Hobie, we got a Old Town Predator, and mm-hmm. we got a native Slayer 10. It was the yeah. first one that had it. It was a Propel drive. It's the name of the drive, but it was a Slayer 10. And we went out to a little pond and we were given a spreadsheet to give reviews on almost unanimously. One of the best ones I found, I was like, wow, I really like this native drive, because one thing it had really good going for it was very smooth and it could mm-hmm. go to reverse really quick. And for people that don't know, the Hobie cannot go to reverse. They finally fixed it where you could pull a big cord. You had to come to complete stop. Pull a cord, and what it does, it switches these fins offset. So now the fins are going the opposite way. Then you pull that cord again, it switches them back. And you're thinking, oh, why is that such a big deal? Well, let me tell you guys, go out paddling, go out pedaling something and start to go into a bank or a bunch of briars, an yep. overhanging tree. And let me know how easy it is to stop one of those things. a Hobie Pro Angler, like I was in a Hobie Pro Angler, and I was just hauling ass. You know, I was doing my little pushing mm-hmm. and I couldn't stop. When you stop pedaling, you can't go backwards. It just kind of like, it just rams
out. Like, all right, you can coast.
you stop when you hit a bank or hit a tree. But with the mm-hmm. Propel drive, you guys, you can go forward. And then if I want to stop and go back, and I can sit in one spot. And yeah. that was the advantage. So final point here is the fact that they dropped the 701 drive down in the Bonafide. I knew it was going to happen. I was like, I know they're not going to design. But I'm glad they did. I'm really excited to get one of those on the water and actually see how it handles. You know, that rudder system looks a little interesting to me, but you know.
I will say it, It is interesting, especially with like how much surface area that rudder blade has, but I am really intrigued. I have like actually like used the mechanic. It's really cool. It's got like a spring loaded system in it to where it's like, all right, well, whoop, it's up. And then it's kind of like how our Skeg system works.
Yeah.
Except on the rudder blade, which
yeah, is because this is nothing. This is nothing secret because it was at ICAST and they did walk through.
It's out there. What now, it is, so it's like
Spectre cord. So they ran Spectre line through the hull and it runs through the hull. And then it runs through tubing and it drops down and it's spring loaded and it drops down and it's made to hit. If you hit like a log or something, it'll pop up.
I'm excited to see how that comes out. Like on a Slayer 10, man, dude, we have sold thousands of those things. There's a ton of, like, we still mold the Slayer 10.
That boat is strong, but old. It's so good.
It's so good.
But then, I mean, so the Slayer Max was kind of supposed to take the place of that, but I don't
The 10 Max was kind of supposed to take its place, but I think it's got like, personally, I think the Slayer 10 Max has too many features for someone who wants the Slayer 10, because I think the Slayer 10 is like what everyone's first pedal drive boat should be. It's, you know, competitive priced, it's, you know, has some features on it, it's, you know, you could put more features on it if you want, but the Max 10 is like, if you wanted all those features straight from the manufacturer, it's like, okay, like I want the Max 10.
You know, one boat that Native dropped here recent that I think is very underrated is that Falcon.
I have one. Well, I should say I have a demo. I don't actually have it, but I have the demo.
Well, I need to do an on-water review of that boat because I've been trying to, and for whatever reason, I don't know if Tyler listens to this shitty ass show right here, but I've been messaging him and I was like, dude, because it's my kind of like, it's more my wheelhouse because I work with Crescent a lot too. And I love that premium wreck market. And I love the look of that Falcon.
Dude, I've used it a handful of times now. I think I've had it out on demo like 6 or 7 times.
It's good.
It's fast. It's really stable, surprisingly, even standing up. And it's got the bow storage compartment area is phenomenal. Like, it was better than the first.
I'm so glad that was changed.
Me too,
dude. And for all of you guys that have looked up, if you want to go look up, you know, I know a lot of people listen to this. You know, we got a lot of whitewater people listening to this. I was like, what in the fuck are they talking?
Like, when are they going to go back to the cool stuff?
Yeah, it's like, but I won't harp on this too much longer. But I'm, you know, me and Andrew both, we definitely love just kayaks in general. And this is what we call the premium wreck market. And Native made a boat called the Falcon. You know, the early version was
all right.
But then
it's good if you were light.
When they updated it and redid it, it looks so good. And I'm so impressed by the way that it's so underrated at great price point.
I think it's faster than the Max 10.
What do you mean? Like,
because I've taken the Max 10 out paddling and the Falcon 11. I think the Falcon is faster.
I would believe it. It looks like it doesn't have a lot of rocker, which that's one thing that interests me when people want to compare it to like the Crescent CK1. Crescent CK1 is has a really hard progressive rocker. It's really good. But I think where that Falcon's going to nail it are those lake paddlers and those people that like, you know, just want to get out on like Lake Lure for a day and just like paddle and have a good time. And if they want to fish, there's fishing options. That's where I think that boat will shine. I don't think it's a good river boat, given it does have soft edges on it. And guys like me and you can make it work. You know, I made like a bona fide work going down the fucking Ocoee. And it's like, you can make it work.
Yeah, but it's just not ideal.
That's not what an average wreck paddler is going to be able to do. So, yeah, I'm glad you got one. You know, I'm glad you got the demo.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I don't put a lot of stuff on it or even in it, but even with like all of my fishing gear, my PFD, all of like my dry bag full of stuff that's,
you got a,
you know,
wheel
up
on
in
it.
The front.
By the way, there's a wheel.
Yeah, on got a wheel on it. So
there's a caster. It looks kind of wonky. It looks kind of cheap. It's funny, when I looked at that wheel, I went, what in the fuck is that? That looks like they took something off a stove. I was like, it looked like they took something off of like a stove or something. And then I used it and I was like, wow, that's good.
You're like, you're surprised at like how well it works. You're like,
I'm so surprised. And a wheel on the end of the kayak's nothing innovative. I think Feel Free and those guys have been using, they integrate wheels into they actually mold them in. And it's like they mold like a wheel they mold a shape that a wheel gets a pin put in it.
Yep.
It's and it works extremely well. Mm-hmm. And when I used that Falcon wheel, I was like, wow, dude, that really works well. And the good thing is it goes into brass inserts, so you can take it off and just not use it at all if you think it looks dumb, because there is a skid plate on it.
There is a skid plate on it as well. So yeah, that's also nice if you don't feel like
running your wheel on, which it. I'm saying leave the wheel on there.
Ruin
I'm
the
pro wheel,
first.
Baby. I'm pro wheel. Yeah,
leave the wheel on and then ruin the skid plate.
Hashtag leave the wheel on.
Hashtag leave the wheel.
Hashtag I still have my wheel.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so the Falcon. Yeah, so good job on that. Good job on the Native on for producing such a good lineup on the Falcon and the Bonafide P127. Yeah, mm-hmm. So enough about all that, you know, that flat water crap. You know, what's in the lineup for Liquid Logic this year? Like, maybe nothing new, but what's currently? I know they discontinued the mullet, right?
We discontinued the mullet. It was so we're still running remixes. We're still running alphas. Still
the
running
remix comes sizes. In five
three
sizes.
Three sizes. We're not running the 47. I don't really count that one. I think they've only molded it a handful of times.
That's the very small kids size.
The kids one, yeah. Let's see, alphas.
Three sizes. Size. Party three brats. Sizes of the Ripper. I mean the. I wish you had a Ripper. That would be really good. Three sizes of the remix. You know, and let's just talk about this. Think about it. The remix is one of the longest running whitewater boats in history right now. If you think about it,
14 years, I think.
So that, like, Dagger's not making the RPM. So let's scratch that.
Yep.
So who else is making a 14-year-old design?
And it sells, dude.
Still sells. It's really good.
Can't keep it in store. Dealers can't keep them in stock. I mean, when we delivered our handful of remixes to ERA, they were gone in 24 hours.
Is that not crazy? When you that shows you, like, with a design, if you can knock it out of the park and really do a really good design, like the Nomad 8.5 ran like something like 11 years. If you can nail a design like the remix, and that's a little fact that nobody really knows. And I knew that, and you knew that the remix, I'm like, dude, that boat has been around forever.
Dude, I had three of them. I owned three separate remixes, and it's just like, all right, well, I love this boat, but I really need something on the rocker. That's the only thing that I didn't like about it. It's like you really had to be smart about bow placement and using your boat to carve.
It's got that old school rocker, and it's like that old school, very like long water line, and the rocker kicks like right at the end. It's like that. It does have rocker, but it's just a little bit at the tip.
Yeah.
Just the tip, baby's all your rocker.
But it's like, if you really wanted to like learn how to paddle and like use your edging and like using your stern to load
well,
that
your
boat,
sidewall,
will
let's
teach
not say
you.
Edging.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sidewall. I mean, stern loading, if you will.
Yeah.
Will teach you how to paddle that boat and really teach you how to paddle.
It's a classic. Like, that thing's a classic. And what a lot of people, you know, it's run some big drops. I think Evan Garcia used to paddle, like EG, he used to paddle for Liquid Logic, and he ran some insane drops in it. He really liked the boat because of the lack of rocker.
Yep.
The lack of rocker is what helps coming off those big, huge drops. It doesn't want to transition so fast. All these high rocker boats that everybody are talking about, I guarantee you, you won't see a lot of these on big, huge drops. Mm-hmm. They're not as safe on those vertical drops. They're good at boofing the shit out of everything.
Yeah.
But high rockered boats are not really good for running big, massive waterfalls. Cause when they go under, they want to transition so fast. And that's why the Nomad was so good too. The Nomad 8.5.
It just kind of had like that bull nose to it. So it just kind of like when it hit, it just kind of pierced the water away from you. Same thing with the Hefe series. Hefe Grande was the best one out of the series. And it's like, man, if you're running waterfalls, you're either running the Nomad or you're running the Hefe.
Yeah.
Like it was no questions asked. There was nothing else close to it in that time frame.
Well, I think that's and you know, the Delta was kind of supposed to be a Hefe kind of replacement.
Yeah, it was, but I
wouldn't say a replacement. I would say like more like a generate like
an update.
Any evolution of the Hefe, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I can see it. I totally see it. I loved mine when I had it. But I don't think that's where the market was. Like, it was a great design. It was good for low volume stuff. It was good to push you out of stuff. Great waterfall boat, by the way.
Very soft on the edges. Very soft on the edges. Turbo
soft pockets.
Soft
edges.
Let's talk about the turbo pockets.
Turbo pockets launched me out of Silencio when I took it to Mexico. But it's just not what the market was doing. And it's kind of hurt the Delta. I think if it would have came out when the Numad came out, I think it would have been a really good competitor.
I do too. I think the offset of the Alpha, if the Alpha would have came out at the time Alpha would be one of the top boats right now, in my opinion. It was like where the Alpha fell, I think it was just late to the game. And that's why not a lot. But the people, you've got people that just love the Alpha. They just can't get enough of it. Yeah, so back to what we were talking about. You got the remixes come in three sizes.
Yep.
What else is
there? Alpha 7590, Home Slice, and Party Brap. We're not really running the Brap anymore.
Brap's done, thank God.
I mean, it's like if you're going to buy a Brap, you might as well buy the Party Brap. And it's like I don't think we should offer the Brap anymore.
I never did. I had both. I say get a remix.
You might as well.
In my opinion.
Also the XP series, if you will, 9 and 10.
Well, yeah, well, so what he's talking about is the Remix XP, and those things have been around since forever,
can't keep those in stock either.
Like Grand Canyon top boats. Yep. They're called
Overnighter.
You know, those are called crossovers. I think that's the crossover market. You got Dagger's got the Katana series. Jackson has the Traverse. And Piranha has the Fusions, right?
Yeah.
Waysport did one called the Ethos.
Ethos.
Yeah, but that's not available anymore, which it actually might be because there's somebody apparently going to be distributing Waysport now. Did you hear about this?
I might have heard something, but I don't.
Hellbenders Outdoors is getting a container of Waysports in.
Why would they do that, though?
I'm guessing somebody just doesn't like money. And they just like going in the hole.
For everyone that doesn't know, containers are extremely expensive.
We're talking a complete container. And you know what?
Five figures.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the whole container. I mean, this is going to be Phoenix, Recons, Mobius.
Yeah. For an outfitter, that is not easy money.
I don't know where this money's coming from, but he's located right there in, what is it, Silva? Or Frank, was it Franklin or Silva? I think it's Silva. Closer than that.
I've never heard of him.
He's a fishing outfit. He's a fly fishing outdoors. It's called Hellbenders Outdoors. And he posted that he's getting a whole container of waves.
I do remember seeing that. But
and man, I wanna get an on water of that damn Phoenix.
Yeah, I think
it looks so bad. It hurts.
When Tad and Aaron was it Aaron Mann that used to have one?
I had one. It was called the Whip.
That's right. And every one of y'all squashed the stern because you said the stern.
Tad
sucked.
Loved the boat. He wanted it to be flat. Tad wanted a boat like kind of like the Scorch. That's why he likes the Scorch so much. That he loves sense. That. But he's a C1er at the time, and he liked using that tail to turn. And I don't think there's a problem with someone really good wants a boat, but you got to think of the overall market. Like you were talking about, the first version of the Alpha, you have to think about the masses. You can't say, oh, we like it.
Yeah.
And we're able to use a tail and lift it and load it and turn it. But the average consumer's like, whoa, this tail sucks. And that's and me and you're like, no, dude, use that to stern turn. I can almost stern turn an Alpha 75. And I'm like, no, use it for that.
Yeah.
So it was a boat that Waysport tried called the Whip. And it eventually evolved into – so I was working at Confluence at the time. We loaded everything, and we sent it to a company called Gabo that's in the UK, and they're molding all of those molds.
That makes sense.
Recon, Mobius, Diesel, and Phoenix. It eventually evolved into the Phoenix. And, oh, God, I looked at some pictures of it, but I'm dying to give it a paddle. I'm really – I just love those goofy-looking boats.
Yeah, it's like you got to get it a feel for it and be like, all right, well, here it is. This is what you wanted.
Yeah.
Diesel's after that, handful of Recons, handful of Mobiuses, and call it a, done deal.
Yeah, it's interesting that there's a retailer that's actually doing that. I agree with you. That's not a cheap endeavor, and more power to them. I don't know if it's come through, but I just seen them posting that online, and I was like, oh, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to try out that diesel. Actually, all three, honestly. I've paddled the Diesel, the Recon, and the Mobius. I've paddled them, and they're just okay. They're just.
Yeah, I kind of had that feeling, too, when I paddled the Recon. Well, when the Recon first came out, I paddled an 80, and I was like, dude, this is
83.
83.
Yeah, I was like, 83 and 93, yeah.
And what was the smaller? There was a smaller one.
I think there was a 79, but it never sold.
It never sold, but man, for someone my size, it's perfect.
It, it, just, Yeah.
It was perfect. It was just heavy as shit, though. It was like almost 70 pounds.
Yeah. And you don't paddle, you don't actually paddle the home slice because of the size.
Because of the size. Dude, that's it. It's like, man, I love the outfitting. I love the feel of it because I got to test it. It's like prelim stages, but dude,
it's basically a session plus.
No, it's bigger than a session plus, dude. I've paddled a session plus. Like, it's the home slice, like knee area volume is just way too big for me. It's like,
massive.
It's just huge.
Because you have a session.
I had a session.
Yeah, you just don't paddle slicey boat enough to keep it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, you know what? If someone else really wants this, I'll sell it to them. You know,
that's how I felt. I had like three super egos at one point.
And you're like, okay, here you go.
Yeah, you get to that. I know exactly what you're talking to. You're like, if someone else really wants this, you know, a couple hundred, $300, it's in really good shape. I paid like 150 for it and outfitted it better. I'm like, dude, it's yours. You know, go ahead. It's yours. And I know I'm sure my super egos are living on because I wasn't paddling them. I would only paddle them just here and there. So I think it was the same way with you. I'd see you out in that session just every now and then.
I think last time I had it out was like 2019.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, done.
Yeah. It's weird, ain't it? But when you got it, you're like, oh, this is so fun.
This is awesome.
I'm going to paddle this every day. Next week, I'm going to half slice again. I'm like, yeah, okay. All right. I'm done.
That's why it's like home slice or not home slice. The Party of Brap and Alpha is like,
that's the perfect 1-2 punch. Technically, it's kind of like the Rewinded Phantom. If someone had a Rewinded Phantom or if someone had an Antix and Nirvana, you know, every manufacturer, Ripper
and Scorch.
And 9R or Scorch, you know, it's kind of like every manufacturer has followed that trend. And so I kind of see that. I kind of see that. That's the 1-2 punch. Well, man, I don't know what else we can talk about. I think that's pretty much it.
Your little preview show.
Yeah, so the
preview. Premiere. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, my premiere. Preview. For you guys who don't know, I just released the Dagger Codes Medium on Water review. So you guys want to see my Dagger Codes, go out and check that out. But, yeah, Andrew, man, I'm going to let you go. I think that's – anything else you want to talk about? Anything you got on your mind?
You know, not really. Just if you're looking to buy a paddle, either hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, or email. I'm sure we can get that in the description below. Or if you go to the Ophion Paddles website, I'm under the U.S. dealers, and my email is there as well. So, you know, you'll find a way to contact me. I'm here.
Yeah, and I've done a couple reviews on the Ophion, and go to the Ophion website and you can kind of see all their product line. It's pretty damn good. I can tell you, guys, I'm not bullshitting you on that. I mean, there's, you know, those Ophion, I don't even own one. I tried to get him to give me one. Then he had this stupid idea like, well, sell five and you get one. I was like, get the fuck out of here. And so it was like, I'm like, okay, because I have so many paddles, I didn't really need one, but I really like the paddle a lot. And if I was going to buy another paddle, I'd probably buy, you know, personally, I'd buy another Warner, but I can't buy Warner.
But you can't get one.
An Ophion is a damn good paddle. And so if you guys want, you know, you could easily check Andrew out. Yeah, he tried YouTube, but he failed. So then
I failed. Yeah.
He quit YouTube. So this channel, I want to try to push more YouTubers out here and try to, because I love the YouTube content and I love it. He does have one. It's Andrew Hiltbrand YouTube. If you just do Andrew Hiltbrand kayak, he'll probably come up.
Yep.
And you can watch his videos from like, I don't know, 2015.
3 years ago.
Paddling a Delta V probably. Yeah, man. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on, Andrew. I appreciate it. And if you guys... This will probably be on YouTube first, but it will be on iTunes and Spotify. So if you guys go over there and check the Shuttle Drive, you can check these podcasts out. So I want to keep this going. But yeah, thanks a lot, Andrew. I'd definitely like to have you back on, and maybe we can bullshit about some more stuff. All right, man.
Totally will. We'll talk fishing kayaks. We'll talk whitewater kayaks, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. We got to do some more fishing stuff to piss everybody off. All right, man. It was nice talking to you. See you, Andrew.